This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
One gun salute for George Herbert Walker Bush, 41, with his final funeral in his beloved Texas in Houston. So many on hand for that, including his best friend, James Baker, of 40 years, who did an incredible eulogy in honor of 41. Hi, everybody. Kate Delaney here with my show, America Tonight. And I'll tell you what, I've mentioned that I had the privilege of meeting several of the Bushes, including Papa Bush, who seems so gracious, and most are saying that about him. But James Baker spent some serious time with him. There is no doubt that they were close friends. And I loved his eulogy, and I won't go through the whole eulogy, but at the age of 94, dying last week, it doesn't matter, 94. He was around for a long time. That's the good news for family and friends. But then you say goodbye, and that's the tough part. He talked about for 60 years that George Herbert Walker Bush had been his friend and his role model. And he said that we entrust his soul to heaven, his name to history, his memory to our hearts. And I have to begin with an apology because it was something he didn't want to hear about. His mother told him not to brag about yourself, and he talked about his accomplishments and then personal moments too as well. And when he died, Secretary Baker was at the foot of the president's bed, and toward the end, he rubbed the president's feet, and, you know, they talked. Even when he was sick, they got to know each other in his younger years, and then that's how that relationship took off. And he was one of his trusted advisors and friends, no doubt about that. So what a send-off. The number 4141 was the train that was pulled by a special locomotive, and that was the number, from Houston to College Station, where Bush's presidential library is located on the Texas A&M University campus. It's buried next to his late wife, Barbara Bush, their daughter, Robin, who passed away in the 50s at the age of 3. So how fitting is that? Very, very fitting. All right, we pop to some of the big headlines on the day. Be careful throughout the weekend. If you're listening to this, snow is supposed to blanket the South, a major winter storm. I know we have a ton of listeners in the fabulous South, the swinging South. So my great loves, Charleston and Savannah, are supposed to get smashed with snow. I'm also a big fan of Tallahassee and Jacksonville. I've been to all these places. New Orleans, Baton Rouge, Houston, and San Antonio, and even Dallas may get hit with rain. Could get hit with some snow. It just depends, you know, if clouds shift in whatever direction they could possibly shift. So just be careful of the weather, I guess. You know, that's the thing. You look up, and all of a sudden it changes. I was with a buddy, a good friend, a funny, funny guy, famous speaker, pal named Michael, and Michael Hoffman, and we got together today. We hadn't seen each other in months, and we walked into a restaurant. It's nice weather. We walk out. It's pouring rain. And typical of me, I don't know about the rest of you, not paying attention so much to the weather. Do I have an umbrella? Do I have a raincoat? Do I have a hat to put over my head? Of course not. A Southwest airline flight with 117 people on board slid off a runway. Speaking of rain, Thursday at California's Burbank Airport. They had heavy rain there. There wasn't any injuries, but it was a flight that came in from Oakland. It came to a stop. It ran through an area of crushable material that was designed to bring an airplane to a stop. The safety system helped prevent them from crashing into a fence and onto Hollywood Way, a busy six-lane road next to the airport. And looking at the pieces of it, wow, they really had to bring this one to a stop, because over 6 hours, they got 1.66 inches of rain. It was pretty bad. I mean, you know, how much just was pummeling it. And they've had that in place for years. They've got this light concrete block that collapses with the plane, and it's just a way to stop it in case that happens, because you've got that street, and you've got all the possibilities of what could happen if the plane pushes all the way through. So scary it would have to be for the people who were in that plane, but thank goodness everybody is absolutely fine. Coming up, we're going to do that cheap movie review thing. And there's a big story that broke about comedian Kevin Hart. He stepped down as the host of the Oscars. He was so excited a couple of days ago to talk about it, but now he stepped down because of an outcry of homophobic tweets by the comedian. In the past, he was afraid that it would just take over, even though he apologized a long time ago, it would just take over everything that was good about the Oscars. So he said he sincerely apologized to the LGBTQ community for insensitive words from the past, and he just stepped aside, that was it for those tweets. And kind of what also happened in a video on Instagram, Hart said the Academy of Motion Pictures Arts and Sciences gave him an ultimatum. Apologize or we're going to have to move on and find another host. And he said he chose to pass on the apology. The reason is because he addressed it a whole bunch of times. So nobody responded to anything after that. He deleted the tweets, and they were from a long time ago. But, you know, it always comes back up again. And one of the things he tweeted in 2011, he said, "Yo, if my son comes home and tries to play with my daughter's dollhouse, I'm going to break it over his head and say, stop, that's gay." So that was one of the comments anyway. And, you know, he said, "Look, I'm almost 40 years old. If you don't believe that people change and grow and evolve, I don't know what to tell you." And he said, "I love everybody." So there you go. He's no longer the host. Wow. People were excited about that. Now it's got to be, you know, somebody else, and I don't know who that is. They have not said yet. They're going to have to, I think, wait a couple of days and then decide how they're going to do what and figure out who steps into that role, because he would have done a great job. For sure, in that capacity. But he's right. If there was a lot of controversy over it, it wouldn't have been worth it to take away from whatever the evening is for people who have worked their whole lives to try to get to this point where they're at that point of their career. All right, coming up, Dr. Seuss, The Grinch, Instant Family, and Robin Hood, the movies we're going to look at here on America Tonight. My show, Kate Delaney. On the flip side,
it's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
The United States of Empire is a book that claims the United States is the empire of the world. George Washington had warned us against foreign wars. The United States of Empire shows that World Wars I and II left England broken. Its former colony, the U.S., had to save the empire. Was there ever a vote? Who do we fight for? The Deep State began with World War I. The United States of Empire by James Dunn. Available at Amazon Books.
Offer not valid in all states or where prohibited by law. Loans are subject to lender approval. See website for details.
Do you need extra cash to buy gifts or just to pay all those extra bills during the holidays? Well, now you can get cash fast this holiday season with a personal loan for up to $5,000 right from your phone or PC at 79cash.com. How fast can you get your cash? Well, with 79cash.com, our lenders can have your cash at your bank account as soon as tomorrow, regardless of your credit history. Just have a checking account and a regular source of income. Go to 79cash.com and you can get the cash loan you need now. So if you need cash fast this holiday season to buy gifts or pay all those extra bills, go to 79cash.com and get the cash you need. Visit 79cash.com. Type www.79cash.com directly into the address bar. That's 79cash.com. 79cash.com. 79cash.com.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
Did you ever have that discussion about favorite Christmas movie? And people always say, Wonderful Life. Oh, Wonderful Life was great. Or Toy Story. I love Toy Story. So somebody asked me that the other day. I said, Grinch. I love the Grinch. Yeah, I wanted to see the Grinch when I was a kid. I wanted to see the Grinch when I was a teenager. I just liked the Grinch. There was something about that character. And so Dr. Seuss, The Grinch, an even newer version, is upon us this holiday season, and here is a little clip of it.
Today, we will do things, and we will do them in style.
Oh, hello.
Happy holidays.
What's this?
Excuse me, are you getting that?
No.
Grinch, fresh from the animation laboratories. 1 hour, 26 minutes. He wants it to be bigger, louder, brighter. So the disgruntled Grinch hatches a scheme to pose as Santa Claus, steals Christmas, and silence the holiday. He's sick of the cheer for once and for all when the Who's decide to make Christmas bigger, louder, and brighter. Grinch wants to shut it down. That theme that we've seen before. Who wins that tug of war? How about this? At Eternity's Gate is a movie about Vincent van Gogh. And Vincent van Gogh, of course, famous painter. You know, think about now seeing a van Gogh, but in his lifetime, he didn't realize what a master he was. Can you imagine if he knew that now? Anyway, it's a look at the life of the painter. Willem Dafoe is the character, the lead character, of course, Van Gogh, and here's a little slice of that.
Tell me, why do you say you're a painter?
Because I love painting. I have to paint. I've always been a painter, that I know.
Born painter.
Yes.
How do you know?
Because I can't do anything else, and believe me, I've tried. I think of myself as an exile.
You're Vincent.
Yes,
sales brother. I'm Paul Gauguin.
We have to start a revolution. Do you understand?
We have to create a new vision, a new way of painting.
I spent all my life alone in a room. I'd like to find a new light for paintings that we haven't yet seen. There's something inside me. I don't know what it is. What I see, nobody else sees.
You're a stranger here. You drink too much. You're hysterical, out of control.
I don't want to calm down. It's called the act of painting for a reason.
You see that this painting is unpleasant. The townspeople have signed a petition against you. They don't want you to come back.
I can't stay here, Vincent.
You're surrounded by stupid, wicked, ignorant people.
So that's the reason why you cut off your hair. Your vision of the world is quite frightening, isn't it?
Yes. Sometimes I feel so far away from everything. I think I'm losing my mind. Sometimes they say I'm mad, but a grain of madness is the best of art.
Do you believe that God gave you the gift of painting to keep you in misery?
I never thought about it that way. Maybe God made me a painter for people who aren't born yet. Tell me, brother, am I a good painter?
You're not a good painter, that's all. You're a great painter.
I wanted so much to share what I see. Now I just think about my relationship to eternity.
All right, so you get it. Vincent van Gogh. I love this. I think this has legs, and I checked it out at a couple of different sites. Rotten Tomatoes, which is an aggregate website, usually they just trash movies a lot of times that I think could be good. They gave it 82% critics consensus. They're mesmerized by Willem Dafoe in the central role of At Eternity's Gate. Pretty tough to play Van Gogh. All right, so we move from that to our final flick, Robin Hood. Boy, that's been done a few times. Here's the latest version.
You're not curious? Who's under the hood?
There's been this
looking up, seeing hope.
If I may, I propose a bounty. $1,000 a week until he's caught or killed.
I've never seen anything like you.
You stared dead in the face.
That's why I chose you.
You're not curious? He's under the hood.
He's obviously well trained.
You flatter him, he's a smash and grabber, nothing more.
Who do you think the thief is?
He's all of us.
So you're an admirer?
He has a quality. He's not you.
Are you sure?
Now, you have to be a warrior.
You wanted to steal?
Now is your time.
Was that supposed to happen?
Yeah, of course.
So you get it, Robin Hood. This time, again, a much different version of what we've seen in the past. We've seen the comical version of it. This version stars Jamie Foxx as Little John. Ben Mendelsohn is in it, too, Sheriff of Nottingham. It's got Jamie Dornan in it as well. So it's, you know, after coming back to England, Robin learns that the evil Sheriff of Nottingham has seized his family estate. It's the story. And then he joins forces with a band of oppressed rebels. And guess what they do? They rob the sheriff of his money and take away his power. Sounds good to me. Wonder if it'll recoup its money. $100 million to make this movie. Hard to say. This is the season where when kids are out of school, it's PG-13, more of these movies that are out there, more of those movies I think will be seen. That's why they release them in the summer and in the wintertime during those breaks. If you go to the movie, send us a cheap movie review to katedelaneyradio.com. Click on contact. Do it there and I'll send you a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Stay with us. We're kicking it to the other side here on the show.
Eating, working, living pain-free. These are things many of us take for granted. But for many adults with disabilities who are elderly or have serious medical issues, dental care is simply unaffordable. Dental Lifeline Network is looking for dentists who can change this. DLN is asking dentists and their teams to volunteer to just see one of the many patients in need. You can literally change a life. When you volunteer with DLN's donated dental services program to see one, you treat a pre-qualified patient in your office at your convenience. We handle the details so you can focus on the care. Lack of dental care can lead to the inability to have life-saving surgery, eat, or contribute to our community. If you are a dentist or know a dentist, please share this message. Will you see one? Visit willyouseeone.org to help change one life in your community today.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. John Kelly's job as White House Chief of Staff only lasted 16 months, even though he once said he expected to keep it through the 2020 presidential election campaign. USA's Rick Vincent reports on how that might affect the Russia probe.
On ABC's This Week, Democrat Senator Chris Murphy was asked if Chief of Staff John Kelly leaving before the end of the year makes him concerned that President Trump might fire Special Counsel Robert Mueller.
You know, I'm certainly going to look at all of our options to try to force a vote on legislation that would protect the Special Counsel. I'm also
worried about General Kelly leaving the White House. I imagine that he was one of the people that was attempting to convince the president not to fire Mueller.
And on Fox News Sunday, White House economic advisor Larry Kudlow said he didn't know if Kelly resigned or was forced out.
Word of Kelly's departure comes a day after the president named his pick for attorney general. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help. And the Affordable Care Act guarantees coverage of substance abuse.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction, Hope, and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction, Hope, and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose.
And here's Mike's best offer ever. My Pillow is now offering 50% off their 4-pack special plus free shipping. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's 50% off plus free shipping. Don't delay. Order now.
Books at Bedtime with Kate Delaney and Greg Stebbin.
He's in our virtual green room right now, Ryan Jenneman. That's kind of a play on words. You'll find out why. He's the co-founder of the THC Design, and we're talking about the cannabis business. Ryan, thanks so much for popping on.
Thank you. I enjoy having it.
So let's just jump right into this. This is a really, really interesting time to be in this business and an interesting business. Tell us about it.
This industry has obviously become very, very popular in a short amount of time. Yeah. I'm growing incredibly fast. One thing that has already started to happen out in California before legalization has even gone into effect is supply has already started to outfeed demand. So this industry, although there is a lot of growth potential, it is not quite as easy an industry to get into as people think. Branding, advertising, your image has already, again, before legalization, started to trump all and become a very important aspect of the industry.
Wow. So in talking about that, I mean, how big truly is the cannabis industry? I think it's infinity. I think we're just at the not even at the tipping point of this. Am I right?
Based off, you know, with the estimated projections you see coming out of groups such as ArcLight with their ArcView, with their, projections of what they anticipate sales to be in California, across the country, shows that there's going to be tremendous growth. They're anticipating this to be a larger market than the NFL within just 5 years.
Wow.
Not sure exactly how accurate all that is, but this is definitely a very, very large market. Just in the most simplistic explanation. I mean, I look at the percentage of people that I know that use cannabis from all walks of life and all demographics, and you just, you know, you do the simple math on that, and you see how much of the population is consuming this product. So
we're in this really interesting place where, and I'm sure you know the statistics right off the top of your head, some states have not legalized cannabis at all, some have legalized it only for medicinal purposes, and some have legalized it for recreational use. Can you just really quickly kind of walk us through the numbers on those three statistics so we have a sense for perspective?
Currently, and their states are changing so fast, I do not want to make a mistake, but currently 37 states have a form of medical cannabis laws.
Okay.
And in those 37 states, that's a little over three-fourths of the population that currently have some form of medical cannabis law. Now there are five states in the union that have recreation, plus the District of Columbia. And those five states, represent almost one-third of the country's population, primarily because of the size of California. That is, where we are. So overwhelming percentage of country has access to medical marijuana. Overwhelming percentage of the country, as you're aware, supports medical marijuana. Any more in depth that you want to go into any one of those aspects?
We probably could have a very long conversation about it. We're talking with Ryan Jeniman. He's the co-founder of THC Design. It is a company that is a cultivator of cannabis for legal use, medicinal and recreational, I'm assuming. I guess the thing that's worthy of talking about here is that this is a real business for you. This is a real industry. And I think people still have a stereotype in mind of what this is all about. But when I went to your website, for instance, at thcdesign.com, I see references to things like quality standards, small carbon footprint, advancement in science, community, advocacy. Can you tell us why your company and this industry at large is good for us as a population and us as a nation?
Most definitely. First of all, industry at large, obviously, I'm a huge cannabis supporter, huge cannabis advocate to be in the position I currently am. But industry at large, I worked in the sporting goods industry. I worked in the investment brokerage industry. Before I sort of had my late 20s crisis, moved to California and got into the cannabis industry. But what I'm getting at is overall the cannabis industry without stereotyping people, which I'm about to do, the cannabis industry for the most part is a lot of people that are environmentally conscious, truly like here to make the world a better place. Granted, everyone has different views of what they're wanting to do, but overall the cannabis industry is not someone that is trying to get employees at bottom dollar and then chisel down the state to even lower minimum wage. The cannabis industry in California on average is 80% above minimum wage. Cannabis industry consistently, because they have, had to sort of be in the shadows for so long. They operate their locations very cleanly, very safely. They've had to be their own security guards. So there's been multiple studies as of recent, one large one that just came out in the past couple of weeks, showing that unlike what, law enforcement had publicly been saying, that when cannabis locations opened up, crime rates went down. And when those cannabis locations closed, wow, crime rates went back up. So multiple aspects there why the cannabis industry is not only good for the constituents, but, but safe. And then in regards to THC Design, I'm really, really here, I'm really excited about what our company is doing, and because we're growing plants and creating life, which is incredibly rewarding, also definitely feel like we need to be giving back to the community. So there's some, major issues in LA, mm-hmm, such as the homeless epidemic, which coming from the Midwest, where I'm from Oklahoma, I've never seen it like the levels we have in Los Angeles. I did not think that was even possible in America, in my blissful ignorance. Furthermore, obviously, oceans, environment, like I said, considering we use water, we use utilities, I feel like us starting to take care of that or giving back is very, very important. And then you mentioned, you know, quality and cutting edge technology. Yes, we employ, you know, scientists within the company, biochemists. We have consultants consistently come in across the world, all to further advance our technology practices, because you know, what we are doing, I truly believe, is a medicine and has medical value. And as this industry progresses, this medicine is going to become more and more mainstream than it currently is. And I want to make sure that our company is up to the standard of the highest quality medicine that, you know, someone would expect coming out of a medical facility. So that's why
Wow.
we continue to push the bounds.
Wow, well said, especially talking about the homeless situation. I understand. I've seen it in Los Angeles. It's outrageous. I think people don't realize that. I agree with you. What about the taxes? People always talk about the taxes and the tax revenues. There was just a big thing that came out about what's happened in Colorado and how most of that money is funneled into the school. So it kind of goes along with what you're saying about homeless and being able to give back. But how are the tax revenues and how big are the taxes on it? Do you think the taxes are fair?
Well, I don't. I chuckle because no business, and I'm not to sound rude. No business. I'm never going to say that the taxes are fair. I'm always going to think they need to be less. And right now, one of the issues that has really happened in cannabis is because everyone's so desperate to get these laws moving forward and to get things on the plate. Because most of I'm not sure if you're aware, even Los Angeles to this day has never issued a single permit for cannabis activity in the last 20 years. So they're very behind and trying to get things moving forward is very much an issue. So as we are working on the taxes, everyone brings that up, from myself to my lobbyists to the political organizations I'm involved with. They bring up taxes because it's a way to get the politicians to be on your side when you say you can bring in money to their constituents or to their district. But at the same time, cannabis is being taxed at every single level, at the production level, at the retail level. It's taxed when it goes in between two producers. If it goes from someone who cultivated the product to someone who manufactured the product, it gets taxed. Then when it goes from the manufacturer to the retail, it gets taxed again. And then when it goes to the retail, to the consumer, it gets taxed again.
So I'm going to cut you off for a sec, Ryan. Most of us won't know the answer to this question. I don't know the answer to this question. Is that different than how, for instance, alcohol or soft drinks are taxed?
It is different than alcohol is not taxed at every level. It is taxed from production to distribution to retail. So there is one more level that alcohol or one more level that cannabis is taxed compared to alcohol. And I cannot answer the soft drink question, sir. I'm not confident on that.
All right. Last question. We have like 30 seconds left. I want to get this in here. What keeps you up at night after everything we just talked about?
What keeps me up at night? Still, this ever-changing industry. What we're marketing is a nightclub. This is something where they're always looking for something hot and new. They always want something new and different. So again, it is marketing a nightclub. So what keeps me up at night is I'm not just a farmer. I have to constantly be marketing an image or a nightclub and staying up with what the market, you know, says is cool or keeping up with the general populace.
All right, Ryan Gentleman, thanks so much, co-founder of THC Design. You can check it out at thcdesign.com. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hear that? That's the sound of a house being trashed while a gang of thieves ransack the place. And what they don't steal will be destroyed.
This year, resolve not to be the next victim of a break-in. Go to faketv.com and discover a device that creates the illusion someone inside is watching TV, even when you're miles away. Security is a mindset, and Fake TV should be part of your security solution. Be vigilant, but not fearful. faketv.com.
My doctor makes more informed decisions prescribing my blood pressure medications based on the data I presented to him on the Smart BP app.
That's one.
Smart BP can export a colorful, detailed blood pressure report that I can bring to my doctor.
That's two.
Smart BP is easy to use and intuitive, and the features on the free version are very generous.
And that's just three of the thousands of five-star reviews of Smart BP, a new blood pressure tracking smartphone app from Evolve Medical Systems. Smart BP is the only app designed for ease of use and seamless connectivity to help manage your blood pressure and keep track of your health at your fingertips. With Smart BP, you can automatically sync your blood pressure measurements through Apple Health and Microsoft Health Vault. Connect with Apple Watch. Easily print and share detailed reports with your doctor, plus many more features. Smart BP is free and available both on Apple and Android devices. And be sure to search the App Store for Smart Blood Pressure from Evolve Medical Systems. That's Smart BP from Evolve Medical Systems, the smart blood pressure tracker.
You may need this herbal tea for relief right away, so write this down. DrMillersClinic.com. If you take meds, then suffer stomach distress, constipation, indigestion, acid reflux, and bloating, and nothing else helps, get Dr. Miller's Holy Tea or Super Holy Tea, a cleansing, detoxifying herbal tea now available at great rates direct from Dr. Miller's office. Call or click 888-660-7039 or DrMillersClinic.com.
Extendivite, a seven-herb combination made from garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite feeds our body with the right nutrients to keep us healthy. Just listen to what Arthur has to say.
I was just calling to tell you what a great product you have. I had used this about, 10 years ago after I had congestive heart failure. And it fixed me up and got me going for the last 10 years. Lately, I've been having heart trouble again, so I placed another order because this was the only thing that ever worked. And I just wanted to let you know that you have a great product.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Welcome to Forbes Books at Bedtime with Kate Delaney and Greg Stebbin.
Enough of him. So Hall of Fame speaker Joe Calloway is with us again, and he's in the middle of his eighth book. He has seven books on business performance, and it's fascinating. We're talking about really kind of a shift in what we're seeing with companies and what's expected of a CEO and how you have to be certainly reactive, not proactive, because that's all we kept hearing before. And Joe, we were talking about that and what it's like. You almost have to have, in some cases, that startup mentality and take it off campus, so to speak. And have you seen that really work now with some companies?
Well, I tell you, we've only been in business for a year. And so we're still in the initial stages with the people we're working with. I'll tell you something that's interesting to me, and part of it is a function of where we are, which is we're out of Nashville, Tennessee, which is a major healthcare center. And healthcare is one of those businesses that is becoming acutely aware of the need to change. There are hospital CEOs that will have said on the public record, have said, our job used to be to keep the hospital full. Now our job is going to be to try and keep the hospital as empty as possible by taking healthcare services closer to the consumer and doing much, much more in terms of preventive healthcare. And that's a reversal to say we need to get paid for keeping people healthy instead of we will get paid when people get sick. I mean, that's a huge mindset shift with an entire industry. And what last time about how companies can be entrenched and CEOs can be entrenched in old ways of thinking. But in all fairness, what's encouraging are the number of CEOs and leaders that are saying, yeah, this is real. All this disruption stuff, this is not a fad. This is not a buzzword. What's happening is entire industries are starting to be changed significantly to the point that you could say they truly are being reinvented. Healthcare is one of them.
Yeah, wow, that is so. And just imagine, what is that going to look like 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 15 years from now? I mean, for people listening, this affects all of us, your health. Without your health, what do you have?
Yeah, it does. We're putting together a group right now that's going to be an ongoing innovation, kind of a think tank composed of representatives from big, I mean, great big giant healthcare companies and other non-healthcare companies, really, really big corporations, but they are huge consumers of healthcare because they may have 200,000 employees. And one of their biggest concerns and expenses is insurance and healthcare. And so we're going to put all these entities together along with then some really brilliant startup minds to say, well, okay, let's go to work. It's kind of like having a giant, you know, the old phrase, the skunk works, which is you take the band of pirates off campus and let them come up with stuff. Well, that's what we're going to be doing in a very process-driven, well, we are starting to do it in a very process-driven way. And it's pretty juicy. It's pretty exciting stuff.
No kidding. Fascinating. I mentioned the other day when we were speaking about, when we were talking about the book that I read, Becoming a Category of One, and that, I think in some ways, just to me, that kind of really made you stand out even more and really put you on the map, so to speak. Talk about doing a category of one and what that means.
Well, I had been out doing speaking and some consulting and, you know, a lot of workshop stuff with groups, especially leadership groups. And now I pretty much exclusively work just with leadership teams and leadership of companies. But the thing, it finally came to me. I thought, what I'm doing is working with companies on how to differentiate. Ultimately, it's how do we set ourselves apart from the competition? And somehow, and I had no idea what the thought process was, but I came up with this idea of becoming a category of one. And, oh, my gosh, I'm so glad I did. that title, it was not only turned out to be a great book title, but I've spoken it. Conventions where they made the theme of the entire 10,000 person convention becoming a category of one. It's just one of those phrases that people go, yes, that's what we want to be. We want to set ourselves apart from the competition so completely that we're not only a leader in the category, they see us as being our own category. So that's where the idea came from.
Yeah, brilliant idea. So I mentioned that you are deep into business. We know that. You just talked about it. You've worked with companies like Procter & Gamble, Coca-Cola, Cadillac, American Express. And it's kind of like children. I don't think you always want to say, well, this is my favorite. I know you have two daughters. This is my favorite daughter because I love each daughter equally. They're all fabulous.
Exactly.
We know you love all your clients. But and this is a hard question, but I'm so curious about this because you've had these great opportunities. Do you have a favorite memory, that favorite place where you spoke, something you did, whatever happened?
You know, I kind of do. This is an ongoing client some of your listeners will be familiar with, and they can certainly Google them and see who they are. It's a retail division of Genesco, which is an apparel manufacturer. And the company is Journeys, which has retail stores. They sell clothing. Their target market is mostly young people, teens and 20-somethings. And I work on an ongoing basis with their most senior leadership, but I also work on a regular basis with their newly promoted district managers and area managers. A district manager is a store manager that gets promoted to, now you're in charge not of one store, but 20 stores. And all the managers directors and all the employees. And they are young, and I walked in the room the first time, and I was faced with 20 or 22 young people wearing tattoos with hair color that none of those colors can be found in nature, with parts of their heads shaved, and I thought, oh, man, I may not be the best match for these people. And they were, in every single class since then, the smartest, hardest working, intuitively smart, and respectful, and interested and curious. This company knows, and they always promote from within. This company journeys. They know how to grow leaders. And I'm so impressed with them. And every time I work with them, I come away thinking, wait a minute, they're going to pay me for doing that? I should pay them for the learning opportunity that I have in seeing these, and I can call them kids, these kids who are so impressive. But from the very top of their leadership all the way down to the store manager level, they really do a great, great job of developing and growing their leaders.
Wow, how interesting. And I can imagine what that moment was like. I love the way you described that. You thought, no way is this going to work. And how perfect is that? It's like the mentor and the mentee that they're teaching you.
Oh, it's so cool. And I thought, oh, my gosh, they're going to be looking at me. Their eyes are going to roll out of their heads and say, who is this old guy that you've got talking to us? The exact opposite was true. They had so many questions, and I mean smart questions. Really, it's funny, not only by what they were saying in terms of their thoughts on leadership, but the quality of the questions they were asking about leadership. I thought, these people are just powerhouses, and I'm so incredibly impressed with them.
Yep. We have a minute and change left, but did you ever think, Joe, that you would end up doing what you're doing now and have these great opportunities and be in this space when you were growing up through the ranks?
I didn't know such a job existed. I didn't know. Are you kidding? I wanted to be Huey Lewis. It's Huey Lewis in the news. I wanted to be a rock star. And I would have, if I had had some talent, that's exactly what I would have done.
Wow. But you're a rock star in business, in the business world, certainly. And we are so happy you spent some time with us. Tell us when your book's going to come out.
You know, it will come out pretty quickly. This one's going to have a very quick turnaround. It'll be out by this fall. I'm guessing by September it'll be out, and it'll be available like every other product on the face of planet Earth on Amazon.
I love it. Joe Calloway, Hall of Fame speaker, thank you so much.
Thanks, Kate.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.